All right, we're here on the bottom of Vav Amud Bet by the two dots. The Gemara begins, Motar Nazir L'Nidava. The leftovers of the monies that were assigned to buy Karbanot for a Nazir go to Nidava. So these are monies that were set aside by a Nazir. Mazir brings three Karbanot. He brings a Korban Olah, Korban Chatat, and a Korban Shlamim. So he has money not assigned to each particular korban, but a pool of money that is for all three of those korbanot. And then he passes away. Those monies go to Nidava. Or, if he had those monies together, and he purchased his animals or his korbanot, and he had leftovers, that excess will go to Nidava. Rav Chista Amar, Vahu, Shekirva, Chatato, Basof. Chista says it's defined by which korban he brings last. So if he brings the Korban Chatat last, then it defines the monies as monies of Chatat. And we already know from our Mishnah that monies of Chatat, the leftover monies of a Chatat, go to Nidava. Now he doesn't say here what he purchases last, it says what he is makriv last. The reason for that is, for instance, he purchases a Korban, and then the Korban dies or something happens to it, he'll go back to this pool of money in order to get whatever korban it is. So what's important here is the last korban he's makriv, because then the monies are used up. It's not the last korban that he buys, but rather the last one that is used or utilized. So if the last one that he was makriv was a korban chatat, then he says the monies have the status of chatat, because then the excess was used or would have been used for that final korban. Aval, I kirvu shlamim basof. If the shlamim were brought last, then motran shlamim, and the same would be true with the olah. If the olah was the last thing brought, then the motar would be motar olah le'olah. So he says it is defined by the last korban that is put on the mizbeach, the three different korbanot that are coming out of this pool of money. And therefore the last one you put on the mizbeach is the one that gives character to this unassigned money. So that's the position of Chista. We have an argument here. Amar Rabbi Ze'ura or Ze'era Afilu Kirvu Shlamim Basof. Says, even if the shlamim was brought last, halacha achati binazir, shetiyeh motra nidava. There's a single halacha here in Nazir. The Gra wipes out the lashon achat, which would make it or give it a different character here, because the word halacha means halacha l'moshe misinai, which is unlikely that's what's being said over here. So that's why maybe halacha achat is maybe the proper term, but the Gra says that you leave out the lashon achat, which would imply that it's halacha l'moshe misinai, which is that benazir shetiyeh motra nidava. No matter what, the leftover monies of a nazir go towards a nidava, irrespective of which korban is brought last. That's just the way that we view the monies of nazir, either because that is halacha l'moshe misinai, or because they contain within them a chatat, we give the whole pool of money the assignment of the character of a chatat, which is that motra is the nidava. So now Gemara says, matnita misaya ledain. Matniyata Messiah Ladain. I have a Braita that supports this one, and I have a Braita that supports this one. I mean, they have a Braita that supports Rav Chista, and a Braita that supports Rabbi Ze'ira. They are both Braitot that are brought on the Mishnah in Mi'ilah. And the Mishnah in Mi'ilah, these are Braitot that come to define or give more definition to that Mishnah. Matnita Messiah Rabbi Ze'ira, we had a Braita that supports Rabbi Ze'ira. The first one, Eilu Hein Ma'ot Stumin. What is called Ma'ot Stumim? As we already said before, Ma'ot that have no definition to them because they are monies assigned to purchase a number of Karbanot. So we don't know what belongs to which Karban. Those Ma'ot Stumim, Ko Shedmei Chatat Mi'urvot Behen. The Gra wipes out the Lashon Metot. Could be that it does belong in there because it's referencing a Mishnah in Mi'ilah that spoke about Chatot HaMetot just before it, but it doesn't really make a difference for us. Demei chatat meuravot bahen. Anytime there's demei chatat, money's chatat mixed up in them, then they are considered to be ma'ot stumin, and they will have this character of a chatat. The chatat will impact the nature of this money as long as the chatat is a portion of them. But then it says something interesting, which is vafilu ifrish demei chataot or chatat mitocha. Even if you pull out the money of the chatat from it, ma'ot stumim hein. They maintain the character of ma'ot stumin. So here, you see that even though the residual money is only going to be used for shlamim and an olah, and you separate out a portion of the money and said that's going to be for the chatat, and the rest of the money is for an olah shlamim, they still have the character of ma'ot stumim, they still have the character of demei chataot, and motran le'nedava, all the pieces of the pie that would be true if the chatat was mixed up in it. So that is similar to what Rabbi Zeira said. Rabbi Zeira said that the monies of a nazir, motran nedava, it's independent of which korban you bring in which order, because that's the nature of monies, of monies tumim of a nazir. So that braita supports Rabbi Zeira. On the other hand, we have another braita, which is Ma'atnita Messiah the Rav Chista, a braita that supports Rav Chista, Eilu the Chatati, Vashar Niziroti, that these are for my Chatat, and the remainder is for the remainder of my Karbanot, which are Karbanot Nazir, which are the Shlamim Neolah, Umet, and then he passes away. Mo'alin Bikulan, Vein Mo'alin Bimitzatan, that extra money, that residual money, away from the chatat. The monies of the chatat, yolichem leyam ha-melech. They go to Yam ha-melech because they're a chatat shemeit to ba'aleha. So that money goes to Yam ha-melech. As far as the remainder, you have a pool of money that is an olah and a shlamim, which is a mix. Because the olah is kodshei kodashim, the shlamim is kodshim kalim. Now, as regards to me'ilah, a korban kodshei kodashim has a problem with me'ilah right away when you're makdishit. And then kodshim kalim only have me'ilah with regards to the portions of them that are kodshei kodashim once you put them in his bath, like the emurim, certain pieces of them that have it. But in general, they don't have a din of me'ilah. So now I have a mixture of money that includes items that do have me'ilah and don't have me'ilah. So the first thing the Braita says is that mo'alin bikulan bein mo'alin bimiksatan. If you use all the money, then you for sure violated me'ilah because you for sure touched the olah. If you only use a portion of the money, we can say that the money that you used was the shlamim portion, and therefore you were not mo'el in the money. Sure, you probably don't have to use all of the money to get the milah. If you use the majority, if you get to a point where it's clear you dipped into the olah money, then you are mo'el. But it would have to be significantly more than a portion of the money in order to be mi'ilah. That's number one. Lo amar imet yiplu l'nidava. And what's absent from this Mishnah is that those monies that he has left over that are for the olah and shlamim, it doesn't say when he passes away, that money goes to Nidava. That's absent from the Braita. And from the Braita, it claims that the monies, you have Me'ilah in them. Me'ilah meaning that the monies are still around, and what you do with them, according to the Bavli and others, is that you take the money, and you buy an Ulah and a Shlamim with it, and you put it on the Mizbeach. Whether you have to do 50-50 or any breakdown, that's a question. But you use it to buy Korbanot. Now, if the din was that Motran Nidava, then that would not be the case. You wouldn't be buying an Ulah Shlamim. The din of mi'ilah would have been different here because you would have a chatat mixed up in there. So it's, fact is that over here, this braita looks at the monies of the olah and shlamim once the chatat is pulled out of it as being different in character. They do not have the character of monies or ma'ot stumin. And because of that, it's a support to Rav Chista's position who separates between which korban you bring last. So again, we have a braita that supports each of their positions. Okay, now, Rav Chista, who is obviously from Bavel, Rav Chista, second, third generation of Moor in Bavel, Amar, Motar lachmo shel nazir yurkav. If you have leftover, now here it's breads, but that's not what they mean. They mean the flour that you brought to make the menachot, or the different types of breads that come with the korban nazir. If you had leftover of that flour, yurkav, you let it go bad, you let it rot, because it was already assigned to be used for the bread, and then you didn't use it, so then it's your kav. If you had money that you assigned for that purpose, then that money would go to Yam HaMelech. It would be the equivalent. Here, just because we're talking about the flour itself, it's your kav. Now, Amar Rabbi Yosei Veyeut. What Rav Chista says makes sense. It is logically true. Like, Vivo Bifnei Atzmo Ein Atayacho. The flour here, you can't bring it by itself, because bread always comes as an ancillary to a korban. It doesn't come by itself, it comes as an ancillary. In lechay lechem karev la'atzmo. You never have lechem that comes by itself. Lakivo im nizirut acheret. What do? You give it to another nazir who needs to have bread that's ancillary to his korban. Ein atayocho. Can't do that. Shein lecha nizirut ba'a below lechem. Because nizirut doesn't come without lechem. I mean, lechem is an integral part of the korban of the nazir. When the nazir brings his money to pay for his korban, he has to bring the korban and the breads along with it. They're a package deal. He can't just pick up somebody else's breads in order to use with his korban nazir.
On your
tab. The foam cane, because of that, tzarich meimar motar lachmosh nazir yurkav. So therefore, the inevitable outcome of this is that the leftovers of the nazir's flour is going to go to yurkav to rot, because there's nothing else to do with it. We don't have an option besides that. Savrin Meimar. The Yerushalmi now says, we want to think, or as Savur the Meimar, we want to say now, we want to extrapolate from this statement of Rav Chisda. Hu motar lachmo, hu motar nisachav. That the same din would apply to the leftover nisachim of the Nazir. Just like the lechem, the leftovers of the lechem go to rot, so too the leftovers of the nisachim will also go to rot. So that's the statement of the Gemara, a proposition, an assumption that we could extrapolate Rav Chisda's din from the lechem of the Nazir to the nisachim as well. Amar Rabbi Yosei v'Rabbi Bon Motar Nisachav Kodshei Kodashiminu. Wait a minute. The leftovers of the Nisachim have a different status. They are Kodshei Kodashim. They are a higher level of Kodesh. V'yiplu l'nidava. And they should fall to Nidava. So here you have Rabbi Yosei v'Rabbi Bon who's arguing on the assumption of the Gemara and saying that's not true. When you talk about the Motar Alechem versus the Motar Nisachim, Nisachim are Kodshei Kodashim. The Motar Alechem are in the world of Kodshei Kalim. So just because the Kodshim Kalim have that assignment, the din of Kodshei Kodashim is that they go l'nidava. Based on our Mishnah, he comes to that conclusion. In our Mishnah, things that are Kodshei Kodashim all get dropped l'nidava when there's an excess. That's Chatot, Ashamot, the Menachot, the Kinim. Everything that was Kodshei Kodashim got dropped to l'nidava after the fact. So he says the same thing should be true here by Nisachim. So now the Gemara says, based on this, we can come to a conclusion, which is, Adatei, the Rabbi Yossi Beribibon, based on this statement of Rabbi Yossi Beribibon, therefore, now the Gersi here is a little difficult, I'm just going to read it the way it should be, which is, Shmuel, Virav Chista, Virabi Elazar, Shloshtam Amru Dovar Echad. Those three Amoraim have the same position. Shmuel, the first generation Amoraim, Rav Chisda, who is, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bon, Rav Chisda has a differentiated opinion between Motar Lechem of the Nazir and Motar Nisachim. So that is what it means here, Aldate the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bon, according to his position in Rav Chisda. And then Rabbi Elazar, who is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, the second generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael, Shloshtam Amru Devar Echad, they all three have the same position. Rav Chisda, Ahan Dehocha. Rav Chisda is on what we just said now. Rav Chisda we just met before. We met Rav Chisda before. I'm changing the Girsaot to match up with the Girsaot of the Yerushalmi. But Rav Chisda is what we just said before. In Rav Chisda, we said Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bon believes Rav Chisda's din is limited to the Motar Lachmo. But in Motar Nisachim, he would believe that it's L'Nidava. He believes that Kodshei Kodashim would go to Nidava, and that's why he only specified Motar Lachmo and did not mention the Nisachim. Shmuel, Shmuel's din is, the Amar, it probably should read here, Rabbi Asi, Ad, the Anat Aman, we had this in yesterday's daf, he says, well, I was still in Bavel, Shem'it Kal Rabbi Yehuda, I heard, it should be Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Yehuda, because he's in Bavel, Mati Kal Rabbi Yehuda, Sha'il the Shmuel. I heard Rabbi Yehuda asking Shmuel this following question. He frish shiklo v'meit, he took out his shekel, and then he died. What happens to the shekel? Amarle, Shmuel responded to him, yiplu nidava, falls in nidava. So shekel also, as the Karban Eidah points out over here, the Karban Eidah says, the shkalim, the kodshei kodashim bayin. Shkalim are going to be used to purchase the karbanot tzibur, which are kodshei kodashim. So the shkalim have a din of kodshei kodashim. And therefore, their excess or their leftovers are going to go l'nidava. So that's position of Shmuel, we said here. Shmuel's position, Rav Chisda's position, and now Rabbi Elazar's position, Rabbi Elazar Pedat's last position that we mentioned, Omer, Motar Asirit Haifa Shelo, when it comes to the leftovers of the Korban Mincha Shelo, Shelo means of the Kohen Gadol, or of the Kohen Hejo, which we bumped into yesterday, the Minchat Chavitin, of the Kohen Gadol, or of the Kohen Hejot. We had a machloket yesterday between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yulichem the Yam HaMelech, the excess goes to Yam HaMelech. Rabbi Elazar Omer Yiplu the Nidava, falls in Nidava. And once again, the Sirita Ifa, the Minchat Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, is Kodshei Kodoshim, and the excess goes to Nidava. So you have here three Amoraim which follow that position, which is that if you have excesses from Kodshei Kodoshim, or their niftar, the person who owned them, they iplu the nidava. It goes to nidava. And that's what we meant. Shloshtam amru davar echad. They all three said the same thing. It's not exactly the same thing, but in the same vein, which is something that's kodshei kodashim, the leftovers will go l'nidava. Alright, next Mishnah. Motar shvuim l'shvuim. If you collect money for captives, the excess money goes to other captives. Mutar shavui, loto shavui. If you collect the money for a specific captive, then the excess money goes to that captive themselves. Motar aniim leaniim, if you have excess money that you collected for the poor, then it goes to other poor people. Motar ani loto ani. If you collected money for a specific individual who's in poverty, then if you have excess beyond the needs or what you thought you were going to get for him, then those monies go to that ani. He gets the excess amount. Motar ameitim lemeitim. If you collect money for taking care of meitim, whether it's poor people who don't have burials, monies to pay for burials, or it's meit mitzvah, then the excess will go to others in that same position. Stays within the world of the Chevra Kedisha, that's right. Motar ameit, if you collect it for a specific mate, li yorshav, it goes to his inheritors. Since he's not around, I mean, equivalent of what a motar ani. Collected money for a specific ani, and you had excess, it goes to that ani. So here, the motar ameit, if you collect the money specifically for this mate, then the excess money goes to the mate. Well, when it goes to the mate, what happens if the money goes to the mate? By definition, it goes to yorshim, it goes to his inheritors. So that's what it would be. Rabbi Meir Omer, Motara mate, ye mnach at Shivo Eliyahu. The excess of the mate waits until Eliyahu Navi comes.
Escrow.
Right? Means bisafek. We don't know what to do with it, so it's bisafek, so you have to wait for Eliyahu Navi. Rabbi Natan says, Motara mate, bonim lo nefesh al kivro. That the excess money for the mate would build him a nice monument on his kever where he's buried. Now the question of whether Rabbi Natan's words are actually found in the Mishnah, we're going to see later on in the Gemara, there's a Braita that has Rabbi Natan in it. Question is, were Rabbi Natan's words lifted out of the Braita and brought into the Mishnah? Or were they a part of the original Mishnah? There is disagreement amongst those that studied Yerushalmi as to whether these words are part of the original Mishnah or they were later on added because of the Braita that we have in the Gemara. But what you have here is a three-way machloket. You have the Tanakhama who says the excess goes to the Yorshim. We have Rabbi Meir who says, I don't know. So therefore, we leave it b'safek and wait for Eliyahu Navi. Rabbi Natan says, no, I think the excess goes to the mate himself. The Bavli discusses as well that the machloket here revolves around the question of busha. Now, they collected the money on behalf of the mate. Is the mate willing to be what's called mivuash? He's willing to accept a certain amount of embarrassment for the benefit of his yorshim. Do we say that he's willing to undergo a certain amount of humiliation in order to have his yorshim benefit? So the Tanakham says, yeah, no problem. He says, I passed away, and if my yorshim can benefit from this money, then I'd rather they spend than give that money to my yorshim. I'm willing to take up that humiliation that the money was too much or what was needed and that the yorshim get it. I'm okay with that. It comes to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, I don't know if he's willing to undergo that humiliation or not. So therefore it's b'safek. Rabbi Natan says, he won't. He won't go undergo that humiliation. Therefore, it goes to the monument. We have to use it for the mate himself. We can't give it to the yorshim. So that's how the Bavli broadly describes their machloket over here is revolving around how the mate views the money and how what he's willing to have happen to the money.
That all sounds like maybe they cut out. Certain.
The Gemara there discusses a machloket between Rav and Abaye. Rav and Abaye, whether hazmana milta, whether the preparation of monies for a certain task already assigns them to that task. So if you believe that hazmana milta, that the assignment of the money to the task makes them into mate, then the monies now are designated, belong to that particular mate. It's not like anything can be done with them. They belong to the mate now. And the machloket amongst the Tanaim here is whether hazmana milta only applies to the kohor money that was brought, and that's what's asur ba'anah and only designated to the mate, or does hazmana milta also apply to the excess? Rabbi Meir says, I don't know. Rabbi Natan says, for sure, hazmana milta with regards to the excess. And the Tanakhama says, no, that there is no isur ba'anah on the motar. And that's the machloket over here. On the other hand, if you believe hazmana lav milta hi, then the machloket revolves around this issue of bizayon as to whether the mate, because they collected the money in the name of the mate, whether he's willing to have his name used or utilized to collect money, and the beneficiary are his yorshim and not himself. If they're for his benefit, is he willing to go with a little lesser monument so that his yorshim get it? Is he willing to skip the monument so his yorshim get it? I mean, how does the mate view that usage of that money? Is the mate willing to have his monies used for something else? That's the question that the Bavli at least raises here. Now, the Gemara says, Gavu, lo means for the mate, Hezkat, she'in lo, with the assumption that he doesn't have. V'nimtza she'esh lo. We figure out that he did have. They had enough money to perform the funeral. We thought he didn't have enough money, and now all of a sudden we find out he did have money. Rabbi Yirmiyah Savar Meimar, Rabbi Yirmiyah thought to say, Motara mate li yorshav. Our Mishnah says, the excess of the mate goes to the yorshim. Now, there are two ways to read this. One way to read this, which is how most of the Mefarshim here read it, is, Well, Motar HaMeit is the Yorshav, and this is similar to Motar HaMeit. This is no different than Motar HaMeit. And since it's Motar HaMeit, it should be the Yorshav. The other way to read this is, no, Motar HaMeit only applies once you've utilized the money. It only becomes Motar HaMeit if the money was used in some way, and then you have excess from what you used. Over here, they never used any of the money because he had funds, and it was something like we didn't expect. Maybe it's similar to what we saw yesterday's daf, which is he separates out something by mistake, thinking that he needs another shekel. Turns out he doesn't need because he had the shekel already. So in that case, maybe Motar HaMeit will have a different din because none of the money was used. So that's maybe his assignment. So here, a question of how to read this. Is he saying this is similar to the Mishnah? Or is he saying maybe we should distinguish between the cases because in the Mishnah, they already utilized the money. It's just excess. Here, they haven't utilized any of the money because they didn't need it at all. Maybe there's a different din over here. Amar lei, Rabbi Idi de Chutra. So Rabbi Idi from Chutra says back to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Hagatz macha. Wait, hold back a second. Delo pivnan elalei. They were only intended for him. So now, depending on what you thought the previous statement was, then obviously the criticism or what he's saying here could be different. If you say when he says Motar HaMeit LeYorshav means that it goes to the Yorshim, literally, and then the statement here of Rabbi Idi is, wait a minute, they intended, like what you were saying before, they intended this money for him, for the mate. They don't intend the money for the Yorshim, they want it to go to the mate. And therefore, either it goes to the mate, or we give it back. That's Rabbi Yaakov Idi. Or if you say before that he was making a distinction, which is Motar HaMeit is to the Yorshim. So now I say that here you never use any of the money, so then it's not the Yorshim, it goes back to the givers. So when Rabbi Yaakov Idi here is saying, wait a minute, you're right, but not for your reason. You're right that it shouldn't go, but it shouldn't go because that's what people had in mind. That's nothing to do with Motar HaMeit, the Yorshav, versus here it wasn't Motar HaMeit. It's because that's not what people intended when they gave the money. When they gave the money, they intended it specifically for the mate. If it doesn't need to be used for the mate, then give it back. It's the same conclusion, but a different reason, depending on how we read Rabbi Yirmiyah before. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyah responds to him and says, Amar lei, ana lo amarit, at menaloch. So now, there are different ways to read this as well, depending on what we thought happened before. But if you think that Rabbi Idi is saying to him, look, I agree with you, your conclusion is right, but for the wrong reason, then what Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying to him is, ana lo amarit. Had I not said this, at menaloch, where would you have gotten this from? Yeah, you're saying, oh yeah, the din is right, but because of my logic. You would never have come to this unless I said it. You're just responding to what I said. So since you're responding to what I said, that's how you came up with this din. Had I never proposed the din this way, you would never have had it. But that's one way to look at it. The other possibility is that Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying to Rabbi Idi, in a sense, he's his Rebbe, and he's saying to him, listen, I taught you what you know. But if I didn't say it, then how do you have a position that's not like what I'm saying? How do you come up with a contrary position, given the fact that I didn't teach you that contrary position? So without me, where are you with a position? So basically he's saying, I don't know how you can disagree with me because I didn't teach you anything that could disagree with me. So where are you coming up with this position to disagree with me? So those are the two possibilities of reading it. Right now, Tani, B'shem Rabbi Natan. Here's the Braita that I said before about Rabbi Natan. This is why some of the speculation that Rabbi Natan was added into the Mishnah later. Could be that it's just the Braita, because it does have additional things that are not mentioned in the Mishnah, which is, Motar HaMeit, Yivne lo nefesh al kivro, you build him a monument on his kever, V'yasolo ziluf, or the in the Yisham it's probably ziluach, agabe mitato. You do sprinkling on his bed, meaning the equivalent of the coffin, but you sprinkle on it something that smells good. They used to sprinkle on it wine, aromatic wine, or b'samim, or spices, onto the mate. There are many times that the mate was sick, and there was a foul odor within them, or the mate wasn't buried right away. In their day, they did not have refrigeration, then there could be a foul odor to the mate. So they generally put on spices or other things to take away from the smell of the mate. So that you do for him as well. So that's the addition that we didn't have in our Mishnah. Now, Tanei, we have another Braita, which is, Ein podim shavui bishavui. You cannot use the monies designated for one captive to reclaim another captive. Vein govim talit bitalit. If you were going out to buy a specific piece of clothing for an ani, you can't switch the piece of clothing that you're buying. People donated the money for the specific clothing for the specific ani, you can't change that. Now, here's the answer, Fred, to your question. Ve'ein me'machim b'yad parnasim lekach. But in the end, we don't go heavy on the parnasim, meaning the leaders, in these issues. Basically, what he is saying is that we give a certain amount of discretion to the people who are collecting the money. When people give the money, yes, they have intent for the specific item that they're collecting for the specific person they are collecting for. But in the end, they really rely on the discretion of those that are collecting. And so because of that, we have, the Parnassim have wider discretion than we would have thought. Because people really rely on them, and people really built into their giving is an automatic clause that says, if it doesn't exactly work out for this, they'll utilize them in the right way as they see fit for something similar, something that's appropriate and within the spirit of what the original monies were given for. So the Brayta says, this is the way it should be, but in the end, there is discretion given, and that's what you would do with these excess monies in these cases, is try to utilize them towards a similar case or a similar item, where if it was given to the mate, it goes to the Chaver Kadisha to help other mate team. If it goes to an Ani, it won't go to this specific Ani Zirshim, but rather you'll give it to other poor people who specifically need. And that's what the Brayta opens up, that idea. Tane. So here we have another Brayta, which is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Inusim Nefashot Tzadikim. We do not make monuments for Tzadikim. Divrehem Hein Hein Zichronam. Their words are their memory. So here you have a criticism by the Chazal, by Atan or Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that it's a waste of money. These big monuments are a big waste of money. And use the money for something good. And that the memory is carried through by the words, the Torah that they leave behind, that is the memory. So now I have, here, I have some good news and some bad news. The good news is that in the Yerushalmi, the remainder of the Gemara to the beginning of Perek Gimel does not exist. So we can just skip to the next Mishnah, and we'd be done. The bad news is that it's here in our Gemaras, and it's really an amalgamation of numerous Gemarot. It's an amalgamation of two Yerushalmis and a Bavli. And whoever put them together, wove together a number of these things, did a great job, but pieces of Bavli Yerushalmi to come up with a Gemara now, which goes from here until the beginning of Perek Gimel, an Agadic Gemara that obviously is thematically connected, but it doesn't exist in the Yerushalmi or the original Yerushalmi, but we'll read it since it's here. Rabbi Yochanan, Mismach, or Masmich, Vazal Al, Rabbi Chia Baraba. Rabbi Yochanan, who was a Baal Basar, was a heavier individual, couldn't walk so easily. He was leaning on Rabbi Chia Baraba to help him to go along. Hayab Rabbi Elazar, can't be Eliezer, it's gotta be Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, who is his contemporary, or really a Talmud chaver of his, who is a second generation Amora, Chamile. He saw him, Umitamrele Mikame, and he hid from him. Rabbi Yochanan is going along, and Rabbi Elazar is approaching him, and then Rabbi Elazar sees Rabbi Yochanan, and he skips out to the side. He goes to hide from him. So, Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Halein Tarte Milayu Hadain, these two things, Bavla Avid Bey, these Babylonians do to me, and it bothers him. Chada Delo Shal Bishlame. He doesn't say hello. He doesn't say good morning to me. He does not greet me. And Vechada Mitamer. The other one is that he hides. Now the truth is that, again, he's going to say something else later. So maybe these are one item, which is that he doesn't greet me and he hides from me, which might be one. But why isn't he doing that? That's not proper conduct. That's not proper etiquette. Samarle Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi suggests over here, Kachni Gin Gavon. This is the way that the Babylonians, the Minhag of the Babylonians, the Zira Lo She'il B'Shlomei Derabo, that the people who are of lesser stature do not greet people of higher stature. That's the etiquette there. That's considered in a hierarchical society, then it would be inappropriate for somebody on a lower stature to greet the person on the higher stature. So now he says, De inun nagun umikaimin. They do this. This is their minhag in order to mikaim the pasuk. Pasuk that says, Reuni ne'arim v'nechba'u. The youngsters saw me and hid. V'shishim kamu amadu. And the elders stood up and we're in their place. The youngsters hide from someone of stature, someone who is more important, whereas the olders, peers, are greeting them, are standing there and interacting with them. So they are basing it on this pasuk, Amarlei. So then Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi, the probably Amarlei is unnecessary here because it's Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi still speaking. Ma'o nemevar, what is the din of passing kamei da dora tzalme or darura tzalme in front of this particular Avodah Zarah? Says, I don't want to go in front of this Avodah Zarah. Should I go around it? Should I skip around it? So Amarlei, Rabbi Yochanan says back to Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi, Ma'at paligle yakar. Why are you giving it such kavod? Avur kamoi. Walk right in front of it. V'sami inui. Close your eyes. He says, Amarlei, Ye'ut, Rabbi Elazar, Avid. That's a good thing. Rabbi Elazar is doing the right thing. Delo avar kamach. That he doesn't walk in front of you. So Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi says to Rabbi Yochanan, oh, you said if I bypass the Avodah Zarah and don't walk in front of it, that's kavod? So Rabbi Elazar is doing the same thing for you. He's walking around in order to give you a kavod. I mean, just like by Avodah Zarah, to walk around would have been a sign of giving honor or deference to the Avodah Zarah. So to here, when Rabbi Elazar steps away, that's deference to you. And then you shouldn't feel bad about it. Okay, so he says, okay, maybe I'll accept that. But another thing, Avid HaBavla. He says, this other thing this Babylonian does to me. So I don't know if that means this is the second thing, or this is an excess of the two that I mentioned before. He says, Zelo amar shmaita mishmei. He doesn't say over things that I taught him. He doesn't say over. When he says it over, he doesn't say it in my name. So nichnesu lefanav Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi came before Rabbi Yochanan in order to placate him. Zelo Rabbi kachaya maseb beit knesset shel Tarsim. There's this case that happened in the Beit Knesset of Tarsim, but Nagar Shish Brosha Glustra. It's from the end of the Gemara Shabbat. You remember this? You have a peg that goes into the ground that has a ball on top of it. It was the peg that jammed into the ground, so it blocked the door from opening. It was like a locking mechanism that had a Glustra on top of it. Shenech Leku, there was a machloket there between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi. Ad Shikaru Sefer Torah B'chamatan. So they ended up ripping a Sefer Torah in their anger. They would rip intentionally a Sefer Torah. Ella shenikra Sefer Torah. Unintentionally a Sefer Torah was ripped because they were so angry. They were worked up about this issue between them that it ended up the Sefer Torah ripped. There was one elderly person there. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma Shemo. That was his name. Amar tmihani imlo hava bebeit knesset ze beit avodah zarah. If this shul will turn into a beit avodah zarah. The Gemara in Shabbat discusses the idea that person who tears something in anger, person in anger is Gilu Obed Avodah Zarah. His point is that if the anger led to the ripping of a Sefer Torah, then this place is going to turn into a Beit Avodah Zarah. So that's what he says about this. So now, they're trying to placate him and say it's not right to be angry. Rabbi Yochanan is angry at Rabbi Elazar, says it's not right for you to be angry because look what happens when you're angry. It leads to the ripping of a Sefer Torah. You need to calm down a little bit, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan responds to them, V'chazar V'amar, he responds to them and says, Achtein mechavrei. He says, wait a minute. That's talking about peers. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi were peers. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat is a Talmid. Is a Talmid chaver of mine. And therefore, maybe I have a right to be angry at him because a Rebbe can be angry at the Talmid. So I don't accept what you're saying here as these cases of being parallel. So then, nifnas lefanav Rabbi Yaakov Baridi. So Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, who was successful last time at placating Rabbi Yochanan, comes into the picture again. Amalei. Tiv. It says in the Pasuk, Kashir tziva Hashem et Moshe Abdo. Kain tziva Moshe to Yoshua. That way that Hashem had spoken to Moshe, Moshe gave that all over to Yoshua. V'chi yichol dibur v'dibur she'e Yoshua yoshev v'dorei she'e omer kach amar Moshe. Every time Yoshua says something, he says, this is what Moshe said. Ella, Yoshua yoshev v'dorei. Yoshua is sitting there and giving the drasha. And yodim hakol sh'atorah sh'moshehi. Everybody knows that the Torah belongs to Moshe. I mean, that it's the default status. The default status of everything Yoshua says is that he learned it from his Rebbe, Moshe. Afata Elazar Yoshev Doresh. Elazar is giving a drasha. Avakol Yodim Shatorah Shalchai. Everybody knows it's your Torah because you're his Rabbi Muvhak. He learned by you. They know that his Torah is from Rabbi Yochanan. Amalahin, he says back. Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Amin Rasi, Bepnea Ein Atan Yodim Lertzot Kebeni Dei Chavreinu. How come you don't know how to placate me like Rav Yaakov Bar Idi? I mean that he successfully placates Rabbi Yochanan each time. So he says to him, you should learn from them. Now, the Gemara asks Rabbi Yochanan, Maikulei Hai. Why did Rabbi Yochanan get so upset about this? Dimrun shmata mishmei, that he wants him so badly to say over things in his name. Why is he so makpir in his kavod that Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat will say it over in his name? So the Gemara says, Af David bikesh alei rachamim. Because David also asked for this. Shenamar, because it says in the pasuk, in Tehillim, Agura be'olecha olamim, echese besetir kenafecha sela. So what does it mean, Agura be'olecha olamim? I want to live in your tent forever. Does David really think he's going to live forever? David says to Hashem, Ribono Shalom, that my word should be said over in the shuls and the batei midrash. Why is that? So here we have the memory, which is Shimon ben Nezira b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak Amar. It's interesting that we have this Gemara here shows up three times in the Bavli. It shows up in Yevamot, Tzadi Zayin, in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Amud Bet, and Bechorot Lamed Aleph. And over there, it's interesting that the Memra has a mix of Shimon ben Nezira and Rabbi Yitzchak. It has different versions of who is saying it and whose son, and so on and so forth. So you see that there's a similar Memra, but it's brought down, said a little bit differently. Now it's called Tamid Chacham. Any Tamid Chacham Shemim Devar Alacha Mipiv V'Olam Hazeh, that you say over some Alacha in his name in this world, Siftav Rochashoti Mo Bekever. His lips quiver in the kever, and our Gemara in the Bible, it says, Siftotav Dovuvot Bekever. they murmur or they quiver in the kever. Shenemar. They quote the pasuk from Shir HaShirim, which is b'chikeich kiyein atov. The upper palate from the good wine feels it rejoices in the wood wild. Holech l'dodei mishirim. It goes down sweetly. Dovev siftei yishenim. Causes the lips of the sleeping to murmur. So now, obviously, they're playing on dovev siftei yishenim. Is that those that are sleeping, their lips quiver. They're talking about sleeping, meaning those that are dead, their lips quiver. There, it's talking about those that are sleeping, the wine makes their lips quiver. I mean, they still have a residual impact of the wine. So too here, by the halachot of the hachamim that are repeated, it has after effect. Mara says, ma, komer shalanavim. Just like a bunch of grapes, they're going to be pressed. Kevan sheminiach adam etzbo alav, if you touch them, yad dovev, they start to quiver right away. Av siptutem shel tzadikim, kevin shomim davar alacha mipiem, shel tzadikim siptutem mirachshot imahem bakever, they quiver in the grape. So, just like Yein HaTov, the comparison to the grapes that quiver when you touch them, so too the lips of the tzadikim quiver when you say over something in their name. Now the Gemara asks the basic question, mahanalo, why does it make a difference? That their lips are quivering, what's the big deal? So now, bar nezira amar, kehadein deshati konditon. It's like someone who drinks konditon. Konditon was a mixture of wine, pepper and honey, was a drink in their time. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, kadein deshati chamei artik. It's like someone who drinks aged wine. Akav dev deshati lei taima bufuma. Even though he drank it, there's still a leftover taste in his mouth. There's a residual to it. So the same thing over here. Even though the person has passed away, there is a residual and it has impact. There is something left over, and if there's something said over in his name, that gives him a zchut, and that has impact on him in Shamayim. Now, the Karmen Eida over here says something nice. He says the difference in their opinion between Kodinton and Yain Yashan is that the opinion that says Yain Yashan is because Yain Yashan is plain. It's by itself. So Torah by itself, if it's said over in your name, that's enough to get your Siptotov to vote, but can't have impact in the long run. On the other hand, Bar Nazira says it has to be Kodinton. Kodinton is not just wine, it's wine mixed with other things. That means that he has to have Torah and Masim Tovim. He has to have both of those items before this has an impact on him in the residual effect. That's the machloket between them according to the Korban Eida. Now Rav Gidol Amar, Omer Shmua B'Shem Omra, Yireh Baal Shmua Kilo Omeid Kenegdo. That a person who says something over in the name of an individual who has passed away is not present, he should have the image of the individual in front of him. It should be as if he is there present, because that'll help him to remember it. It'll be as if he's in conversation with him. The Rav in Isha Halacha speaks about this, that when he used to learn the Rishonim, he felt as if they were in the room with him, like Rashi, the Rambam, they were there, they were speaking, it was a whole interaction with them, it was live, it was not just that he was quoting their words, it was as if they were standing there and talking to him and speaking to him in Torah. Shneamar, because the Pasuk says, from Tehillim, Ach b'tzelam yitalechish, Ach hevel yehimayun, Yitzbor v'lo yeda miyosfam. So, Ach b'tzelam yitalechish, a person will go in vain, and that's the nature of the Pasuk. He'll collect possessions, you don't know who will get them in the end. So that's the nature of the Pasuk. The way the Gemara is darshing is, Ach b'tzelam yitalech, yitalech is halicha l'torah. So that is, Ach b'tzelam yitalechish. When a person is learning Torah, b'tzelam, the image should be in front of him. The image of the individual taught in the Torah should be in front of him. Now the Gemara says, K'tiv. The Pasuk says, Rav Adam Ikra Ish Chasto, many people will speak about their goodness or their good deeds. Veishimunim miyimtza. But a faithful person can't really find them. There aren't so many of those people around. Reliable or faithful people, there aren't so many of those around. Now the Gemara says, Ze Rabbi Zeira. Ish emunim miyimtza refers to Rabbi Zeira. Dama Rabbi Zeira. Late nan tzrichin chashishin l'shmaitid Rav Sheshet. You do not have to worry. The halacha, you don't have to worry about any memra that you hear from a sheshet. Du gavra mipatcho, because he was blind. So now this is based on what we just said before. Since Rav Sheshet was blind, he never saw the bala memra that said it over to him. He could never see the person who spoke to him. Since he couldn't see the person who spoke to him, maybe his shmuot aren't as exact, because he can't imagine the person in front of him because he can't remember. Or maybe he thinks he heard it from this individual, but it was really somebody else and he mixed up their voices. That's one of two ways to explain it. So therefore, his Shmuel are not reliable because of that. Amarle Rabbi Zira, the Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Zira says to Rabbi Asi, Chakim Rabbi, the Bar Pataya, you know Bar Pataya or Bar Pado. You're quoting things, Atamar Shmaita Tamishme, you're saying things over in his name and you never saw him. So how is it that you're saying over things in his name? Amarle Rabbi Yochanan Amra Mishme. Rabbi Yochanan said it over in his name and Rabbi Yochanan saw him and I saw Rabbi Yochanan, so that's enough. I don't have to see him directly. I can quote things in his name because my Rebbe saw him and I saw my Rebbe. So I'm going to let Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Zera says to Rabbi Asi, Chakim Rabbi, the Rav. You knew Rav, you experienced him firsthand. You're saying over Memrot in his name. Rav Adar Baava told it to me. Mishmei in his name. And therefore, I quoted in Rav Adar Baava. I know it's as if I saw Rav, or I can imagine Rav Adar Baava, and Rav Adar Baava saw Rav. So there's a clear mesora, shoshelet, of seeing the individuals. Now the Gemara says, Ein dor sheim bo leitzanim kedoro shel David. There's no generation that doesn't have these comics, but not really comics, people who are cynical, like the door of David. Mayu prutzei adorosim. What are those people in his generation used to do? Hochem etzel chanotav shel David. They used to pass by the windows of David. Omrim lo, David, David, ematai yivneh beit ha-migdash. When will the beit ha-migdash be built? Ematai beit ha-shem nelech. When could we go up to the Beit Mikdash? So they were saying, based on the nevuah that Natan had given David, that when he passes away, his son after him will build the Beit Mikdash. So basically they were saying, David, when are you going to die so we can have the Beit Mikdash? Vaya David Omer, afal bi shemitkavim lechach hiseni. Of course, they're trying to upset me and trying to get me worked up. Yavo alai, im lo hayiti sameach b'divrayim. He takes the shvuah, basically, I'll tell you, it'll come to me if I wasn't happy with what they said. Dichtiv. It says, "Samachti b'omli Beit Hashem nelech." Quote from Tehillim. It says, "I was happy when they said, 'Let's go up to Beit Hashem.'" Now, Gemara continues, "Vayu ki yomalu mamecha v'shachavtayim abutecha." Navdan says that when your days are fulfilled, you will pass away and be buried with your forefathers. Amar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu David, "Yamim shleimim ani monelecha, v'lo yamim chareserim." I'm going to let you live out a full life, even though my Beit Hamikdash is dependent on you passing away. Nevertheless, you're going to live a full life. Lom Shlomo bin Chayiv ne Beit Hamikdash. Akrib Karbanot. The only reason Shlomo is going to build the Beit HaMikdash is in order to bring Karbanot. Akrib Karbanot, or Karbanot Zibur. Chaviv alai tztakao mishpat sh'ata useh. The tztakao mishpat that you do, I like that better. You'll tear me in a korban. Better than the korban, shenemar, the pasuk in Mishlei that says, Asay tztakao mishpat, nivchar l'Hashem mizabach. That is more important to Hashem. Tztakao mishpat, doing what is right, is more important than the korban. Meaning, ben adam lechaveiro is more important than ben adam lemakom. You have to do right by others. Just bringing korbanot is not enough. And that's what the Navi, Yishayahu Aleph, which we read in Shabbat Chazon, is screaming about to the people. I don't want your korbanot. I don't want all this stuff. Take care of the atom. Take care of the almanah. Su tztaka, su mishpat. The Navim are screaming about this all the time. That tztaka mishpat is the central thing. The korbanot are only ancillary items. So he says, I prefer your tztaka mishpat, which is said by David HaMelech. The reason that he's chosen as the king and the Davidic line is chosen because he does the tztaka mishpat. Hashem says, I prefer that, I like that better than the korbanot that are going to come in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, now we begin the third paragraph with the Mishnah. Mishnah that we bumped into a little earlier that was quoted in parts. But here the Mishnah tells us, this paragraph and the next paragraph tell us about the procedures for Trumat HaLishka once the Shkalim were brought in. And the Mishnah begins, V'shlosha prakim v'shana tormim et HaLishka. 3 times a year, they used to take off the Trumot from the Lishka. B'prosa Pesach, before Pesach. B'prosa Tzeret, before Shavuot. B'prosa Chag, and before Sukkot. V'heim granot shel ma'asar behema. Divi Rabbi Akiva. And these equate to the granot of ma'asar behema. So first of all, with regards to the Trumat HaLishka, this is something we discussed earlier, the Gemara and the Yerushalmi, later on we'll discuss why it is that we take it off 3 times a year. We saw this in the Gemara earlier, that either because of Pumpi, that they wanted to make it into a big deal, pomp and circumstance surrounding it, so therefore they did it 3 times in order to give significance to the event. Or the other possibility is that the coins came into the Mikdash, didn't come in all on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, depending how far away the people lived, they came over time. Therefore, they did it 3 times a year to incorporate or to take care of the coins that came in later. So the original one was for the people that were close in Eretz Yisrael to the Mikdash. Second one was for people further away. And then the one by the Chag was for people even further away that it took time for the Shkalim to reach Yerushalayim. So those are the 2 possibilities as to why it's done 3 times a year. Now, as far as Masar Be'ema Granot, the Goren is a term that is used by grains, by produce, when it comes to Masrot and Trumot. So here, that word Goren is now lifted and brought over to Maser Behema to be the point in time where one becomes Chayav in Maser Behema. Person's only Chayav in Maser Behema once he takes the animals, puts them into the corral, and then walks them out of the corral and counts them, and then the 10th one becomes Kadosh B'Maser Behema. So truthfully, you could do this, number one, once a year. Number two is you could do it with all the animals for the year. Number three is you could actually transact or do anything you want with the animals as long as you count those animals towards your Maser Behema. But the Chachamim did was that they put in place Granot. They put in place these 3 way stations along the way where people would stop and then be Mafrish their Maser Behema. The question as to why, we'll see in the Gemara why they did this, but they had these three times a year where the people did it. Now the people were reluctant to shecht or sell the animals prior to that point in time, and so therefore that might have to do with why they picked these three times. So the first opinion is that of Rabbi Akiva, who says that it's before Pesach, before Shavuot, and before Achag. But as I omer, b'srim v'tisha ba'adar, it's on the 29th of Adar, u'b'chad b'sivan, on the 1st of Sivan, v'srim v'tisha ba'av, on the 29th of Av. Gemara relates to us in the Bavli that he picks the 29th of Adar, because they believe, we're going to see in the Gemara, that it was 15 days before Pesach. And the machloket here is whether Adar can be a chaser or malay sometimes. If Adar is always chaser, then 15 days before would always be the 29th of Adar. If it could be malay, then sometimes it's Rosh Chodesh. It would be the 30th. So that's why Rabbi Akiva uses a looser term of pros atzeret versus Ben Azai, who uses a specific date of Esrim Tisha B'Adar. The first of Sivan, which is based on the fact that Ben Azai says there's not much time between Pesach and Shavuot, so therefore we want to delay it as far as possible close to the regel, so we do it on the 1st of Sivan. He did it on the 29th of Av, because Ben Azai is of the belief that it's not sure as to whether Elul belongs to the next year or Elul belongs to the previous year. So therefore he has a go-rin right beforehand on the 29th of Av, and then he has another go-rin afterwards, which is the new year, because the new year begins from Tishrei. So because of that, he divides that, he keeps Elul separate, and ends on the 29th of Av. Why doesn't do Rosh Chodesh Elul? So that there'll be a distinction between the old and the new. Blazar v'Rabbi Shimon Omrim, b'chad b'Nisan, b'chad b'Sivan, u'b'chavted b'Elul. The first of Nisan. They believe that it's 14 days before Pesach, not 15 days before Pesach. The first of Nisan. The first of Sivan, similar to Ben Azai's reasoning, and b'chavted b'Elul, on the 29th of Elul, because they believe that the end of the year for Ma'aser Behemah is Rosh Chodesh Hashanah, Tishrei, and therefore the 29th of Elul. V'lam amru b'chavted b'Elul, v'lo amru b'echad b'Tishrei. Why do they say the 29th of Elul, not the first of Tishrei, meaning Rosh Hashanah? All their other things are on Rosh Chodesh, why wouldn't they say Rosh Hashanah for this one? Neishu Yom Tov, because it's Rosh Hashanah. V'yashar laser b'Yom Tov, and you can't take off Masrot and Yom Tov. Gemara speaks about the fact that they used to stain the 10th one that went through. They used to put a dye on them so that they knew that it was Ma'aser Behemah. It wouldn't get mixed up. So you can't do that on Yom Tov. Therefore, they did it the day before. As well as the fact that, as the Bavli says, there's another reason, which is they want to separate between the old Ma'aser Behemah and the new stuff. So if you do it on the 29th of Elul, that's clear that that's the end of the year, and anything that comes after this will belong to the new year. So it's also a way to define the day that is the end of the year. Now, Amar Rabbi Bo, Ko Hain de Tanina and Pras, Pago. Anytime you see the word in Shas, Pras, it means half. Now, that's the end of the statement in the Ushaman. The rest here is added in based on the Bavli, which is Palga de Lamed Yom, Kodim Le Moed, Shudoshim Bechil Kultav. Palga that we're speaking about here is half of the 30 days that a person normally assigns to be the precursor to the holiday. The amount of time that people are the chachamim or doresh in the holiday, people are allowed to ask questions in that period of time, and it's considered to be within the purview of the holiday 30 days before. So half of that amount of time is 15 days, whereas we said before that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say 14 days, that's based on the opinion that you only have 14 days, 2 weeks prior to the holiday to do that, and so therefore they use the 14-day number instead of the 15-day number, which is half of that 30-day unit. Now the question here, there's a machloket amongst the mefarshim as to whether when Rabbi Abahu says this statement, number one, does he mean it for all of Shas? Which seems unlikely that he means for all of Shas. Palga means half. It seems to be that here, pros, in our case, means something different than it means in other places. And that's because usually pros means before, and pros being before meaning pre, and it usually means the era of Yom Tov. So over here, Rabbi Abahu is coming to say, don't learn it like the regular pros or pre. That means before, meaning Erev Yom Tov, but rather learn it this way in our case, which is it's 15 days before, because it has a different meaning over here. Not in all of Shas, but here in our context, it has a different meaning. The second thing they argue about is whether that means for all of the three times, or it only means for Pesach. For Pesach, it's 15 days before, because you do 30 days before. But for Shavuot and for Sukkot, maybe it should be different because of the layout of the holidays in those cases. And maybe here, Rabbi Abahu would agree that the pros is not 15 days before, but a smaller unit of time before, similar to the other opinions in the Mishnah. So that's also unclear. So now the Gemara says, these granot. Why do they have these three granot? Am Rabbi Yochanan, midei shem pirkei leida. Because these are the times when the animals give birth, and the owners want to go right away and take care of the Ma'aser Behemah right when they're born. So it picks the time of the year when the animals are born, and that's what these three different times of Goren HaMasrot they have to do with. Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Tamchum Bar Chiyas, Rabbi Acha says the name of Rabbi Tamchum Bar Chiyas, B'Shem Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi, Kadesh Yigea Be'ema Mitzuya Olei Regalim, in order that there'll be lots of Be'emot available for the Olei Regalim. In order that people will sell their animals and allow people to check their animals. Again, we said before that they're allowed to do it before the granot of the Chachamim, but people didn't generally do that. They didn't generally sell it or check it beforehand until they took off Meiser Be'ema. So the Chachamim assigned those thresholds before the Regel in order that the people would do the Meiser Be'ema, and then they'd be willing to sell the residual Be'emot to people in order to utilize for the regel. So in order that there be lots of animals available for the regel, they put the granot beforehand so people would be willing to sell and not reluctant to sell their behemot to the Olei Regalim. Amar Rabbi Yudan. Rabbi Yudan says, Shelo yavo lidei bal te'acher. So you won't come to bal te'acher. Bal te'acher is really a din in nidarim. When you take a neder, you have to bring your korban to the mikdash, and if you don't bring it over three regalim, then you're in violation of bal te'acher. Rabbi Yudan suggests here is that the same is true by Meiser Behema. Meiser Behema, if you don't bring it up over that period of three regalim, then you're in violation of Baal Te'acher, delaying or tarrying and bringing up the Korban to the Mikdash. And therefore, the Chachamim made the times of Meiser Behema right before the regal, so that the person will just take it right up to Yerushalayim. He'll be done right away. He'll have Meiser Behema. He won't forget about it. He won't leave it on the side. He'll take it right away. The regal's coming up. He has Meiser Behema. He'll take it up with him to Yerushalayim, and it'll be taken care of immediately, and you won't have a problem with Baal Te'acher. So you have three different reasons given, one from Rabbi Yochanan, a second generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael, and then you have Rabbi Acha, quoting Rabbi Tanchum, quoting Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who's a first generation Amora. Then interestingly enough, you have Rabbi Yudan, who's a fourth generation Amora, disagreeing with these other two opinions. Whether he's completely disagreeing or he's adding on an additional item is questionable, but here you have three different reasons as to why these granot are assigned to these specific times. Okay, we'll stop over here.